This morning, we talked about suffering and the Christian life and how we shouldn't be shocked when we go through difficulties, when we go through periods where... But victory in Jesus, what does it mean to have victory in Jesus? What does it mean to be more than a conqueror? You ever think about that? What does it mean to be... I mean, we all want to be conquerors, but what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? More, well, we're going to talk about that. The theme for tonight, though, is victory in Jesus. And I believe as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, that you don't have to go through life defeated. You don't have to go through life constantly frustrated, constantly below what God has purchased through Jesus for us. We don't have to be downtrodden and just walking around with our heads down, right? Because of Jesus, not because of anything that we have done, but because of Jesus, we can walk around, we can look people in the eye, we can be confident of who we are in Christ. And so that's the theme for tonight, victory in Jesus. Growing up, I played a lot of sports, primarily baseball, for pretty much almost my whole life, since I was about 5 years old. Never liked to lose. I was not a good loser. You know, I remember someone said, "Show me a good loser and I'll show you a loser." That's probably not, but I did not handle losing well. There are times when we would lose a game and I'd be so angry and I didn't want anyone around me. This wasn't like in softball a couple of years ago. This was more when I was 12. I'd go to the car, to my parents' car, and I'd get inside and I'd lock everyone out. And I just wanted my alone time to process what just happened. I remember one time, even watching Mizzou games, sometimes I can't watch. I get too emotional. And then I started thinking, why am I so emotional about a bunch of 19-year-old kids? I don't even know any of them, but I want to throw a brick through this TV right now. That's probably not the healthiest thing. So I don't like losing. And in Jesus, you're never a loser. In Jesus, you are victorious in Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. That's the first verse we'll look at tonight. Would you read this with me? "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Amen. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's four thoughts in that verse that I want to share with you. I believe it's going to encourage you. Number one, victory in Jesus is yours. It's yours. Victory in Jesus is yours. God has no intention. His plan for you does not include allowing you to lose in your battles of life. He wants you to be a victor, victorious, a winner in life. Number two, this victory is something that God, what does it say? What does he do? He gives us the victory. He gives it to us. We don't have to earn the victory. He's already purchased it. Everything that was necessary to have victory in life, Jesus did for us. And he gives it to those who follow him. He gives it to us. We don't have to earn it. It's kind of like, it's like salvation. Can you earn salvation? Nope, you can't earn it. You don't deserve it. But God has done everything. Jesus has done everything for your salvation. You just need to receive what he's done. It's the same with victory in Christ Jesus. We don't earn it. No, it's a free gift of God's grace. Now, it's given to us. God gives it to us, but where does it come through? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Like so many things in life, you can't access the victory that God wants to give you outside of Jesus. It comes through him. So if you're not in him, it's not coming to you. But if you're in Christ, that victory will come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to see several scriptures tonight where that's a recurring theme. Every good gift we know is from above, but it all comes through Jesus Christ to us. So that's the expression, the title, the song that Sean just did, that the worship team just did for the offertory, Victory in Jesus. Victory in Jesus. Let's look at Acts 10:36. It says, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of most things on this planet. He is Lord of all. Is there anything he's not Lord of? People might not recognize it in their life. There might be nations that don't recognize it, but he is Lord of all. He is Lord of all. And since Jesus is Lord of all, do you think he can triumph in all situations? In every situation, no matter what it is we face, he can give us the victory and he can help us triumph over everything. 2 Corinthians 1:20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, for all the promises of God, all the promises of God in him, and who? In Christ Jesus, are what? Maybe if you believe hard enough, maybe if you, work hard enough, maybe if you, no. They're all yes and amen, right, in him, to the glory of God through us. Everything is for his glory. Every victory is for his glory, right? When we have victory in life over a situation, hallelujah, it's a blessing, it's a grace, but it's for his glory. Don't ever forget that. It's for his glory. I've seen different things. I tried to pull this up. Anyone want to guess how many promises there are in the Bible? There's a lot. I've seen different ranges, but one of the numbers I kept seeing over and over is at least 8,000 promises. 8,000 promises. Now, think about that when we read this again. For all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him amen, to the glory of God through us. What are some of your favorite promises? Anyone want to share a favorite promise from the word that maybe you stand on this promise for your life? Okay, there's a few. I'm going to make my way back.
Train up a child the way he should go, when he's old, he will not depart from it.
Right, that's a great promise. That's a promise. That's an incentive. If we want our kids, our grandkids, right, following Christ, right, pray that promise. Stand on that promise. Yes, sir.
He restores our youth like an eagle.
Hey, that's a good promise. Right? There we go.
He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you.
That's right. Now, that should bring comfort. That should bring comfort to everyone.
This is the one to finish what you preached this morning. And without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
Yep. Yep. He rewards those who diligently seek him. It's not a fruitless thing in life to come to church, to read your Bible, to pray, because in that process, what are you really seeking? God. You're seeking more of him. You're seeking a deeper relationship, right? And God says he is a rewarder. What do you think he rewards you with? All the promises, right? Promises. Is health a promise? Is having more than enough a promise for every good thing, right? These are promises that we can stand on. The enemy wants to convince us that, yes, this life is a struggle. Jesus even said, you will face tribulation. We're going to look at it. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Hold on. I don't want to get there yet. All right. All right. So all these promises, 8,000, I've seen others like 10,000. I've seen some like 7,000. Whatever it is, that's a lot of promises. And how can you have that many promises that God Almighty, the creator of this universe, made to us and not have victory because of those promises? right? When we walk in victory through Jesus Christ, ongoing victory in Christ, right? We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen, right? It's a hostile world. You turn on the news, it's pretty hostile. There's a lot of bad things that happen on this planet, in this world. But we can have victory through every circumstance, every situation. And that's why we give thanks to God, that no matter what it is we're facing, thank you, Lord, we can have victory through Jesus Christ in this situation. Lord, I'm facing a financial shortfall this month, or Lord, I'm facing a health crisis, or I'm facing a relationship issue, Lord, but I'm standing on your promises, and I have victory through you, Lord, no matter what. I'm going to unpack that a little bit as we get on in here, but look at Romans 8:37. There's another verse I'd like everybody to read together. Let's begin. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. I want you to personalize this and replace the we with I, okay? And the us with me, okay? So let's read it again, but in a personal way, okay? So, yet in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe it? Through all these things, Paul had just, all the trials, all the problems he was facing, but he said, yet, in spite of all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him who loved me. And together, we are more than conquerors. We're a team. And this team doesn't lose. Because our coach is the greatest coach in the universe. And our team captain is the greatest team captain. Jesus Christ. He's not going to let us lose. He's not going to let us lose. That's right. He's batting 1,000. Look at this. Once again, living victoriously, right? Living victoriously, conquering our obstacles, right? Conquering them, walking over them, walking through them, right? Where does it come through? It comes through Jesus, right? That's the key. I don't want you to leave here tonight without understanding. It's not just that he's made these promises, and you can just claim all these promises, but that you have to be in Christ. You have to recognize where they come through. It's through him. It's not because you're a great person. It's not because you come to church. It's not because you tithe. It's not because of any of that. It's because of your relationship with Jesus. It's because of him. John 16:33. It says, these things I have spoken to you that in me. Now, this is Jesus speaking. Okay, now listen to what he says. These things I have spoken to you that in me. In me, you may have peace. In the world, this is Jesus speaking, in the world, you will have tribulation. You will have trials. You will suffer. You will have affliction. There are things that you'll face. But listen to what he says. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. He's overcome it. And in him, through him, we overcome it. It's not separate from him, though. It's through him. It's in him. So remember, Jesus is Lord of what? All. He is Lord of all. Now, does that include Lord over your finances? Or let's say you're struggling. Is he still Lord over your job, over your finances? Is he Lord over your health? Is he Lord over your relationships, your marriage, your family? Is he Lord over this nation? He is Lord. Again, people might not recognize it. They might not glorify him for who he is. But we know as believers, he is Lord over all. We know it. Against all foes. What foes do we face in this life? Think about who is our enemy. I mean, who do we wrestle against? Satan. Who else? Huh? He has no victory over us, but we wrestle against not flesh and blood, Right? Principalities, powers in high places, right? Spiritual wickedness, spiritual forces of evil arrayed against us. You know, I always thought about, I didn't always think about this, but someone brought this up. How many angels fell and followed Satan? 1/3. How many good angels does that leave? There's twice as many good angels out there than there are evil angels. Twice as many. And Jesus is the Lord of the heavenly hosts. We have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. Nothing to fear. And he makes us more than conquerors. All right? Now, when we talk about victory in Christ, this conquering, it's is it narrow or is it a broad victory? A wide victory over everything. Right? It's wide. It's not narrow. Because it says in how many things are we conquerors? In all these things, right? In all these things, we are more than conquerors. Amen. And that empowerment that comes through our relationship with Jesus, through the infilling of the Holy Spirit, that's what enables us to conquer, right? When we face a situation, we don't face it in our own strength. Whose strength should we be facing it in? Jesus' strength, the strength of the Holy Spirit, right? Let's look at 2 Corinthians 2:14. Is that the next one? Okay, I want everyone to read this again with me. Let's read it. Now, thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. This is a promise. Now, thanks be to God, who how often? Always leads us in triumph. Again, in Christ. In Christ. It's in through Christ, right? I want you to remember that. It's through him. Now, this is the I think it's the last. I'm going to check. I'm going to go a little bit ahead in my notes. This is the last verse in this message tonight. But just like the previous two that we read, is that encouraging to you? Does that encourage you with whatever it is you might be going through right now? He always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now, the cynical nature in me would think, yeah, but that's actually an old Greek word. Yeah, but. That a lot of people insert unnecessarily into things. You know, yeah, but I know so-and-so, and they're not, you know, living in victory right now. I think of Evadine. Most of it, if any of you visited Evadine the last year or so while she was at St. Mary's, and you walk into her room, you probably wouldn't say she's living in victory in the state that she's in. But I think about this. He always leads us in triumph. You know, we just had the 75th anniversary of D-Day. How many of you ever seen Saving Private Ryan? That first half hour is intense. You know, they say that's the most realistic portrayal of the Normandy Day invasion that's ever been on screen, and you feel like you're there, and you feel it's just, it can be overwhelming. I was watching it again the other day, just thinking of these transports coming into the beach, and those doors, especially if you're on the first wave, and those doors open. So, but who ultimately, like there, I think, what was it, 9,000 soldiers lost their lives? Roughly, 9,000. 9,000. I remember reading about one, I think he was a captain, he was over like 900 men. And in 500 yards, he lost over 600 of them. But ultimately, who was victorious? Right? In this life, just like, you know, we are called soldiers. Paul uses that reference. And in war, there are casualties. People get injured. They get wounded. Sometimes they die. But we're all on a team pressing forward together. So when one gets wounded, right, there are people just like medics that come and attend to that person while the rest of the army pushes forward, right? And we don't leave anyone behind, right? That's the motto of, is it the Marines, right? You don't leave anyone behind and you keep pressing forward. But this is a spiritual warfare. And ultimately, Job, we talked about Job this morning. When Job prayed for his friends, it says that God restored everything that the enemy had taken from him double. Right? It's interesting when you read that story, though. I'm just going to read it. Sometimes when I paraphrase stories, I get in trouble. So I want to read it. If you have your Bibles, just turn to Job chapter 42. If you don't have your Bible, there's probably one right in front of you. All right, Job 42. All right, verse 10 says, "And the Lord restored Job's losses when he prayed for his friends. Indeed, the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then all his brothers, all his sisters, and all those who had been his acquaintances before came to him and ate food with him in his house, and they consoled him and comforted him for all the adversity that the Lord had brought upon him. Each one gave him a piece of silver and each a ring of gold. Now the Lord blessed the latter days of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep." Now, at the beginning of the book of Job, we read he had 7,000 sheep. The Lord now has given him 14,000 sheep. And then he had 6,000 camels, that was double. 1,000 yoke of oxen, that was double. 1,000 female donkeys. And it says he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Let me ask you, at the beginning of this book, how many sons and daughters did he have? He had 7 sons and 3 daughters that were killed, that he lost. And it says right here that he had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Well, I thought he received double. He did, because those 7 sons and 3 daughters were in heaven, the first ones. And he received 7 more sons and 3 more daughters. He received double. We didn't lose Evadine. We will see her again. If you're in Christ and you lost a loved one that was in Christ, you will see them again. It's just like they went on a vacation, the greatest vacation you could possibly imagine, to heaven, to be with Jesus. And one day we will be reunited with them. It's just a temporary thing. Just temporary. We're not going to see them again for a little while, but soon enough we will see them again. We didn't lose them. God definitely didn't lose them. But I did lose my notes, so I'm going back up here. All right. The promised triumph in that verse, where is it? Where do you receive it? In Christ. In Christ. Right? Just like the other verses. What does that mean? How are we in Christ? What does it mean to be in Christ? Right? Every day we're in Christ. It means that we're walking with him every day. And we also know the Holy Spirit is inside of us every day. Right? We're in Christ Jesus. I think about like the armor of God. Right? When was that? That was a few weeks ago that Patty took us through, right, a lesson on the armor of God. But really, it's about being in Christ. If you're in Christ, you have the armor of God on you, right? We're clothed with that armor when we're in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. A daily close walk with Jesus. That's the source of victory. You get away from Jesus, you're going to start suffering defeats. You get right back in close to him, victory, victory, victory in Jesus. Victory in Christ. Victory against the world. Victory against the flesh. Victory against the devil. That's victory. Right? We all want to walk in this life being victorious over the world. The evil world system. It's pretty evil. But we are on a different plane than the world system. A whole different system. Financially, it's a different system. The finances of this nation could collapse, but I have confidence in the one who's my source of every resource, who's the source of my finances. The government's not the source. My job is not the source. He is the source of my finances. Now, the provision of God-given victory to us, what kind of response should it generate in us? Gratefulness, thankfulness, right? That's what it says. Now, thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. A thankful heart, thankfulness, never complaining. What got the Israelites into so much trouble? Grumbling, complaining, not believing. I mean, I it blows my mind. I mean, they just came through the Red Sea. They saw the whole Egyptian army drowned. And less, it seems like just like the next week after that, they're making a golden calf and dancing around it. Ungratefulness. Grumbling. Oh, where's this Moses? He's been gone. Well, I know that, you know, God just delivered us from slavery after 400 years, and he opened up a miracle, the Red Sea, and we walked through dry ground, and he drowned our enemies in it. But, well, here's the real God. It's crazy. It's crazier when Moses comes down and he says, Aaron, what in the world is going on? What are you doing? What does Aaron say? Well, I don't know. You know, just threw some gold in a fire and out jumped this calf. And we got naked and started dancing around it. I don't know how that happened. You get crazy when you move away from God. You start saying things that are crazy. You start doing things that just... When you're like, what? That doesn't make sense. Because when you're outside of Christ, nothing really makes sense. It just doesn't make sense. The things that we do, I can think of things I did before I was in Christ that I look back now, I'm like, oh, God, thank you for your grace. Thank you for throwing that in the sea and never bringing it up again. Hallelujah. Now, earlier we saw words such as victory, right? Conquerors, right? Now, in this verse, what do we see? Another synonym here, triumph, right? Triumph. Now, there's a pattern, if you've been paying attention. There's a pattern that we've been looking at here. Victory, conquering, triumph, overcoming, right? That is God's plan. God's plan for those who receive his son, Jesus Christ. That is his plan for you, right? We are, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life. It's victory. It's conquering. It's triumphing. It's overcoming. That's a good plan. That's a plan I can get excited about, right? I mentioned before, I don't like losing. This doesn't sound like losing to me. It sounds pretty good to me. Now, again, are there going to be struggles? I covered that this morning. You will face struggles in this life. You will face tribulation. But what did Jesus say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That should encourage us. That should make us motivated. Now, how often should we expect God to give us victory in Jesus? How often? Always. Always, the scripture promises us that God will always, always, always lead us into triumph in Christ. Again, don't leave that out. That's important. So here's a summary for tonight. Who gives us the victory? Right? Jesus, God gives us the victory. He gives us the victory. What does he make us? What are some of the things we learned tonight? What does he make us? More than conquerors. Right? What else? Overcomers, triumphant overcomers. Right? That's what he makes us. Now, where do these victories come through? Jesus. Right? They come through Jesus Christ. Can we earn this victory? Who gives it to us? He gives it to us through his grace. It's God. We don't have to earn it. Now, there to enjoy it, if you are truly grateful to God and thankful for what he's done for you, are you going to want to do things that grieve him, that displease him? No. So out of love, out of respect, out of gratitude, out of thankfulness, we want to walk as close to Jesus as we can. And if we're walking next to Jesus, we're going to go where Jesus wants us to go. We're going to do the things that Jesus wants us to do. It's when we get further away from him and start trying to do our own thing, we don't enjoy the victory. We're not enjoying the promises that God has for us. But when we're right next to him, walking, right, not getting in front of him, right, almost kind of keeping a step behind in a way, or at least side to side. What are we? We are yoked with Jesus. Yoked, right? Oxen. Two oxen had that wooden thing around their necks. They were yoked together. Where one oxen went, the other one went. When one stumbled, the other one helped him back up. Does Jesus ever stumble? No. So it's when we stumble, Jesus helps us keep our balance. Keeps us moving forward. So, victory in Jesus. Now, is this a narrow victory? Is it limited victory? No, it's in all things we're victorious. And it's an always victory. It's not one day we're victorious, the next day we're defeated. It's always. It's not a hit or miss type of victory. And now, why have we been made victorious? Because Jesus loves us. He loves us. He loves you. He loves you, and he wants you to be victorious in him. And we cannot forget to be thankful to God for choosing us to be on the winning side. I think it was Billy Graham. Someone asked him once, how do you remain so hopeful? Or something to that effect. And he said, because I've read the end of the book. I know how it ends. We win. That's how it ends. We win. The devil loses, and we win. And as long as we stay in him, we are victorious. In him. In him. Again, we will go through things in life that to a normal person doesn't seem pretty victorious or like we're overcoming, but that's why we are the body of Christ. We come alongside people when they're going through those struggles, when they're going through a health crisis, and we come alongside them and we encourage them. But the church continues to move forward against the gates of hell. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. When we're going on the offense, there are going to be Christians that get wounded, right? If you've seen any kind of war movie, hopefully you've seen Braveheart, right? As that army of Scottish soldiers marched on York Castle, there are a lot of them getting taken out. But they kept going forward, and they got the victory. Right? There's going to be casualties, but the army of Christ continues to move forward. And we don't give up ground. We keep taking ground from Satan, what he's taken. We keep going forward. Now, it's not a physical thing. It's spiritual. Spiritual. All the battles we read about in the Old Testament provide us spiritual lessons, right? When you read about Jehoshaphat going to battle against his enemies, who did he put in front of the army? The worshipers. Now, I'm sure the worshipers were wondering if that was the soundest battle plan at the time. But you know what's interesting? Even when you, I don't know if you've seen any movies of like the American Revolution. Who's one of the ones out there in the front? The drummers, right? The ones going out. I think there's a famous portrait even. But anyway, what does that teach us, though, in the spiritual warfare? How important worship is to gaining the victory, praising Jesus, victory, right? We just sang victory in Jesus. That is a key. Being worshipful people, being thankful people.